Man overboard!
Hello, beautiful humans. I'm Tymy Castle.
And I'm Benjamin Mead.
And you're listening to Just a Minute. Just a Minute is an educational podcast where we break down justice topics in 30 minutes or less. Today's topic, vacation justice. Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us. And hello, Ben.
Hello, hello, hello. This is your cruise director, Benjamin Mead, reporting from the Lido deck, or maybe soon to be the poop deck. I did have lots of coffee this morning.
Oh, no.
But all aboard.
Let's
sail away,
sail away. My favorite person who lives in a castle with just her cats. Did you know that about Enya?
No.
Who sings that song?
Mm-mm,
yes,
nope.
She famously is like a millionaire who lives in a castle with just her and her cats.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, was that life not meant for me?
I mean, my last name is Castle. I can see that being your dream come true. For sure. But you know how we've said that justice studies always spoils everything?
Yes,
we've already spoiled Christmas, so now we're going to poo-poo on vacation.
Have we spoiled Halloween?
Not really. Well, no.
It's just a fun holiday.
Yeah, no.
We just spoiled Christmas. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Christmas. But we're going to do cruises today, spoil cruises today. Have you been on a cruise? I know you've been on like the, was it a heavy metal cruise?
No. It was a punk rock cruise.
Oh,
with
okay.
With the band Flogging Molly.
Oh.
And so I went on that twice. And it's actually the only kind of cruise I would ever go on because, number one, these are all people who stay up late.
Mm-hmm.
So the breakfast is always empty. So I can always get seated for breakfast and take my time eating and drinking. Also, everybody was at the shows. So if you didn't go to any of the shows, you could do whatever you wanted because, you know, people were busy going to see bands and stuff. So it is the only kind of cruise I think I could go on.
That sounds good because you know, everybody's doing other things and you get the boat to yourself, basically.
Yeah. That's why Rita went the second time. She doesn't know any of this music or any of these bands, but she had a great time on the cruise.
Yeah. I've been on two cruises.
Yes.
One, I was in grad school and I had fun then because I was young and it was, you know, just like the, you know, fun experience. But the last one that I went on a couple of years ago, I did not like at all.
What was the worst part?
I just felt so cramped everywhere.
Yes.
The rooms are small. The bathroom in your cap. I mean, we did an upgrade and had like an ocean view balcony cabin in it. I mean, I'm a tall person.
Yes.
But I felt like I couldn't even stand up.
Yeah.
Straight in the bathroom
or turn around in the short world.
And then people are just everywhere. There's no, you know, it's
exactly. That's why I don't want to ever go on. Yeah.
So as an older person, cruise, is not for me.
Yeah.
But what about vacation? Do you have a favorite vacation
you've
ever been on?
I have been very fortunate to travel to a lot of places, and other parts of the world. But I have to say that the first time I ever went to Bruges, Belgium, was my favorite. Like I just, the place is magical and I loved it. And the movie in Bruges came out in 2008 and it's a black comedy, drama, crime thriller, British, which is my absolute favorite type of movie. And so I was obsessed with that movie. And so then the first time I knew I was going to be close to Bruges, I was like, I got to go to Bruges.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the first time I went was 2012 and it was amazing. And it's a little medieval town, you know, bell tower, belfry, all of that.
But yeah. I've seen that movie. It's been a while and I've just seen it once, but I remember the bell tower being like the big something.
I've climbed that
setting
so
at the
many
end.
Times. Yeah. But now it's too crowded. And the last time I went in 2019, it was
not fun.
Miserable.
Mm.
Yes. So I did not enjoy
crowded
it.
And hot.
Not sure I'm going to go back ever. Yeah.
So my favorite vacation was an all-inclusive resort in Cozumel. And I wanted to talk about all-inclusive resorts in this episode too, but ran out of space and time. So maybe next summer. Maybe next summer we'll do Vacation Justice Part 2 about all-inclusives in resorts.
We can just do it in the winter when everybody's thinking about vacation.
That's not a bad idea either.
Nice little break from the norm.
Tropical dreams during the gray of winter. But I'll save most of the details about that vacay for that episode if it ever happens. But I will say one of my favorite things, it was a small non-corporate resort, and so it wasn't cafeteria food. They had fresh food on the beach under a shed buffet for lunch and breakfast every day.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, it was like fresh home, I mean, home-cooked food. But anyway, that was my favorite episode. But let's start our vacation justice episode by talking about how unjust paid vacation laws, or the lack thereof, are in the U.S.
Yes.
So we, and by that I mean you and I, we're fortunate to be on academic schedules. And even though we don't get paid for the summer, we're on 10-month contracts, the schedule is one of my favorite things about the job.
Even though I have a lot of work to do over the summer. Mm-hmm. But most Americans are not so fortunate.
True.
The U.S. is the only advanced economy in the world that does not guarantee workers a paid vacation.
Right.
In a 2008 study, U.S. workers receive on average 9 days of paid vacation, but only about 36% of low-wage and part-time workers in the U.S. get paid vacation time compared to full-time workers, 80 to 90% of whom enjoy paid vacation time. Mm-hmm. In contrast, European and Canadian countries, as well as Australia and New Zealand, have established at least 20 days of paid vacation a year as a legal right. And I just, I had this conversation with Paul over Christmas when he was here visiting with his mother. He's Norwegian, talking about his 5 weeks of paid vacation a year and how he, tries to spread those out and, woe is he, in terms of having, it's like, you've got 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But here in the U.S., we have to fight for our right to vacation. And one of the major forms of vacations is taking a cruise, which we're going to focus the rest of the episode on. So cruise tourism began in the 1960s, largely for residents of the U.S. and Canada to cruise the islands between North and South America that begin with a C.
Yes.
How do you pronounce those sets of islands?
I do it like Billy Ocean. Mm-hmm. Caribbean Queen, now we're sharing the same dream. Yeah, so that's it.
So,
Caribbean Queen. Mm-hmm, yes. Yeah.
So there are two major ways to pronounce it.
Yes.
Caribbean.
Yes.
And Caribbean.
Yes.
And you go Caribbean.
Yes, because Billy Ocean did. Mm,
Billy Ocean. Well,
he's a singer from the 80s that no one will know except for the older listeners that we have. But they may remember this 80s song.
I was going to try to pretend like I knew who that was, but I didn't.
It was like, our hearts, they beat as one. No more love on the run. If you heard the song, you would recognize it. It's also called And No More Love on the Run, like in parentheses after a Caribbean queen.
So Caribbean, I'll always associate that with Pirates of the Caribbean because that's how that's always said. But that's Caribbean like the way we say European or Korean.
Yes.
And actually that may be kind of the closest to the original pronunciation.
Yeah.
So the term comes from the Caribs, who was an ethnic group native to Lesser Antilles in South America. Mm-hmm. And that word puts the stress on the first syllable. So probably like Pirates of the Caribbean is the most original way to say it. But even within the Caribbean, there are more than two, about 12 different ways that, that people pronounce it. But the other is Caribbean, like we pronounce Mediterranean or Epicurean. And Royal Caribbean, the cruise line, pronounces it that way.
Right.
And North Americans, on the whole, tend to say Caribbean.
Caribbean.
Europeans tend to say Caribbean.
Yes.
But anyway, although cruises now have kind of like proliferated worldwide, the Caribbean remains the leading market for cruises.
Yes.
And in 2016, Carnival dominated the market with 49% of cruise passengers, followed by Royal Caribbean with 24% of the market. And now we have these new mega cruise ships that can carry about 5,000 passengers.
What
so,
a nightmare.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. In 2023, Carnival Jubilee was commissioned, and that's one of the newest ships, and it can hold almost 5,300 passengers.
Oh my God. Why would anybody want to be on a boat stuck in the water with 5,300 people?
Yeah. I mean, like a lot of people refer to cruise ships as like floating cities.
Yes.
And overall, cruises are characterized as like spectacular and encourage indulgent consumption. So you get free drinks, all-you-can-eat buffets, and these carnival-esque parties.
Yes.
That's a phrase that I stole that obviously relates to you know, Carnival and Carnival Cruise Lines.
Right.
And one article I read that was particularly critical of cruises called it like a seduction. Yeah, you've got all this food and drinks and parties, and you can upgrade to all-inclusive alcohol packages, mm-hmm. and all of your purchases go on your wristband.
Right.
And you don't see them until the end of the cruise when you get your bill. So, you know, focus on all the fun. Don't think about anything but fun. Ignore everything else that's going on, particularly the dark underbelly and exploitation on the ship and cruise lines more broadly.
Yes.
But in my Justice 210 class, when we go over crime typologies, I use cruise lines to talk about the principle of corporate crime.
Right.
So corporate crime, illegal actions taken by corporations in pursuit of profit. Have we talked about corporate crime?
Briefly. We might have mentioned it. Mm-hmm. Maybe we haven't. We had to.
Kind of in the state crime, because we talked about airlines. We kind of talked about state and corporate crime.
I think we used some other terms like state crime. I mean, but there's also SCC, which is called state corporate crime, and it focuses on, you know, sort of the collusion between businesses and the state.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to add to the definition of corporate crime? Basically, corporations commit crime to make money.
Exactly. I mean, it's pretty much that simple. It just doesn't end up being in our crime statistics, right? Because we don't have detailed information about that. And I've mentioned that before in that episode, I believe.
Right. And not too long ago, we talked about like the crime decline, like, you know, street crimes, murder, robbery, those things that happen like on the street by individual people, and corporate crime doesn't kind of get included in that.
I would only add that, you know, because a lot of what they do is not defined as crime. So people will call it unethical business practices or malfeasance or these other, you know, sort of less loaded terms when in fact what they are actually doing in parts is violating like financial laws.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, cruise lines actually have been convicted of felonies.
Dun, dun.
So even
internally,
we might be tempted to think about, oh, soft ethical violations, but they actually are criminals.
Yes.
But before we talk about cruise lines as criminals, we have to talk about COVID and cruise ships.
Oh, Lord. I think there's a documentary on this now, but one of the early horror stories of the pandemic was the Diamond Princess, a princess cruise that had an outbreak of COVID in February 2020, in which 13 passengers died and the ship was quarantined off Japan for about 3 weeks.
Yeah, so that was like February early days. And that would be my nightmare.
Me too.
Obviously, you know, COVID had an impact on lots of tourism and leisure activity, but like being trapped on a cruise ship with COVID and everybody around you having COVID in that little cabin.
And people were taking lots of videos with their mobile phones and stuff.
After that, I would think no one would want to set foot on a cruise ship again. But the cruise industry is currently soaring.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
According to the Cruise Line International Association, 32 million people took a cruise in 2023, which is 100% more people than took one in 2019.
Yeah.
In 2021, after a year-long cancellation of cruises, cruise lines had no problem filling up ships due to people who had banked cancellation credits and pent-up demand.
Yeah, I've not been able to go on a cruise for a year. I just can't stand it anymore.
Yes. In addition, a 2023 report attributes the growing numbers of cruisers to new megaship design and technology, greater access and variety in destinations, and the price and convenience of the all-inclusive nature of ships. But back to corporate crime. How or why are cruise lines corporate criminals?
Yeah, there are three major ways that cruise lines commit corporate crime. One, evading tax and labor laws. Two, polluting, both intentionally polluting and then just by the nature of a cruise ship polluting. Yeah. And by covering up disappearances and criminal activity on board ships.
Yes.
So first of all, tax and labor law evasions. Even though more than 50%, more than half of cruise passengers are Americans, very few cruise ships actually sail under the American flag.
Right.
And only one major cruise ship of the major cruise lines, and the ship's called Pride of America, operated by Norwegian, is registered in the U.S. So the maritime principle of, quote, flags of convenience, unquote, allows ship owners to register their ship in any country other than their country of residence, which, again, allows them to evade tax laws, safety regulations, and labor laws. Mm. Panama is the most common country for ship registries because it doesn't tax corporations for income.
Oh.
And the last cruise that I went on, the ship was registered in Panama. It was a Panamanian registered ship. And by avoiding labor laws, particularly service staff on cruise ships are exploited big time.
Oh, yeah.
Servers and housekeepers are foreign workers who don't get paid minimum wage. They work for months on end, sometimes as much as 14 hours a day, with no days off until their contract expires, which is usually around 9 months. They live in crowded conditions at the bottom of the ship, so you right. don't get any privacy. You can't go home to your family at night. You're working 7 days a week. You don't get overtime. There isn't a minimum wage. Mm-hmm. And there's some secrecy about wages on cruise ships. Obviously, the corporate criminals want to keep that information on the down low.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are some suggests that the wages, while low and they're not compliant with U.S. minimum wage requirements, can be lucrative for people from poor countries, which is why people are willing to
right.
Come and live on these slave ships, sure. essentially.
There are also fewer safety regulations and compensations for injury and death on the job. For example, Jose Opazo, a 66-year-old technician who had worked for Carnival for 17 years and was 2 months from retirement, was killed in 2015 while he was working on an elevator. Passengers filmed a scene with blood running down the elevator door and a staff member telling passengers to leave the area. His death wasn't investigated, and Carnival called it a matter of human error, i.e. mm-hmm. it was his fault.
Mm-hmm. But he was basically crushed to death.
Oh,
elevator, yeah. Okay. So it's, his fault.
But they settled with the family and included a confidentiality agreement, but the video went viral nonetheless.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I had not heard of this until reading it. Yeah, no. But, yeah, there's definitely no OSHA on the ocean.
That's very good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also there's major inequality in ship staffing as well that kind of perpetuates stereotypes about foreign workers. So like the captain, the crew, the entertainment staff and directors, they're white Americans and Europeans. Right. And all of the service staff are people of color, black and brown and yes. Folks from Southeast Asia, which reinforces that kind of racial Eurocentric hierarchy. And then there's pollution, which, right. of course, is a growing concern, particularly when we consider the size of these huge, newer mega ships holding over 5,000 people.
Oh, gosh.
Imagine all the trash and human waste and mechanical waste produced by a behemoth.
Yeah.
And, of course, cruise lines have been caught illegally and knowingly dumping. That way.
Surprise, surprise. Yeah.
Corporate criminals. Yeah. For example, in 2016, Princess Cruises was convicted of 7 felony charges for intentional pollution at sea and was fined $40 million. And basically, they had been dumping waste at sea for at least 8 years.
Oh, man.
And this was a case that was brought to light by a whistleblower.
Yes.
And of course, we have an episode on whistleblowers.
We do.
And that was one of my favorite spins. You can blow my whistle, baby.
Yeah. Mm, mm.
But anyway,
go back and check that one out.
Yeah, for sure. And hear me try to whistle badly.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But waste produced by cruise ships includes a lot of things. I mean, it boggles my mind how much trash 2 people use in a week.
I'm one person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I feed like 1 million cats. So just the waste from all the cat food stuff.
Yeah. And just imagine how much trash in the trash can. From 5,000 people
I cannot.
In a week. Yeah. And then there's bilge water, which I didn't know what this was, but this is the water that kind of like collects at the bottom of a ship. So it, kind of collects all like metal contaminants and fuel contaminants, and then that's dumped into the ocean.
Yum.
And then there's black water, which black water is basically toilet water.
Yes.
It's sewage. A 3,000-person cruise ship can produce 150,000 gallons of sewage per week and more than 1 billion gallons of sewage per year.
Oh.
And cruise ships have been caught routinely dumping this in the ocean.
And that's before a norovirus outbreak on the ship.
Oh, gosh. Yes. No,
can
please.
You imagine?
No. But that can be harmful to sea life and local people in terms of bacteria, disease, contamination.
Yeah.
And then you have gray water, which is like water from showers and sinks and laundry and dishes. So basically any water that goes down a drain that's not a toilet and that's not good, healthy, clean water to dump in the ocean either.
Yeah.
You have mechanical waste, which, is like fuel and oil that can enter the ocean as a result of spills while the ship is being fueled or routine maintenance or, of course, dumping bilge water I talked about earlier. And then there's air pollution. So a 2017 study found that one cruise ship produces more air pollution in one day than a million cars could produce in one day.
That's
a lot. Yeah. And air quality on cruise ships is worse than air quality in major cities.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
Cruise ships use heavy fuel oil, which I don't know exactly what that is, but it sounds like, you know, heavy. Like super industrial, which is apparently, heavy pollutants. So air pollution is a big thing. And then there's an under-researched phenomenon of like collisions and noise and light pollutions. Yeah. So in 2010, a Carnival ship, the Sapphire Princess, docked from an Alaska cruise, and they found a 13-meter, which for us Americans on the metric system is 42 feet.
Yeah.
So a 42-foot-long humpback whale dead on the bow of the boat. So the boat had hit it. No one knew about it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's noise and light pollution from cruise ships, which can disturb marine life and whales in particular. So all of this type of waste, ultimately, all throughout the 2000s, cruise lines, including all of the big ones, have been caught and fined for dumping bilge water, fuel waste, human waste, all of these types of waste in the ocean.
Great.
Yeah.
Lovely. Mm-hmm. So finally, cruise lines have been in trouble for covering up disappearances on ships and crime by both guests and staff. Over the years, there have been a number of high-profile passenger disappearances with no trace from cruise ships. Estimates range from 200 to 400 people who have disappeared from cruise ships in the last 20 to 25 years.
Man overboard! We'll see how that little sound effect, how that little sound effect turns out. But Florida Today did a story in 2023 on passengers going overboard on cruises. And first, it's difficult to fall overboard now with regulation chest-high barriers. And typically, alcohol and other safe activities are involved in overboards, like climbing on chairs or railings, or going overboard may be intentional, like people dying by suicide or murder. There have been a handful of, like, premeditated murders of spouses who go on cruises and then kill their spouse and dump them overboard. So that's meant to look like a cruise ship disappearance. But other than disappearances, from 2009 to 2019, there were 212 man overboard cases. So these are cases where they knew for sure that someone went overboard, not just like disappear without a trace. And of those 212, only 48 were rescued.
Oh,
so chances of surviving going overboard on a cruise ship are not high. It's a 22% survival rate.
Yes.
In the Department of Transportation collects records of crimes on cruise ships, and in the first quarter of 2025, 48 crimes were reported to the FBI from cruise ships. But 33 of those 48 were for sexual assault or rapes, which kind of indicates that that's the crime that is getting reported. That's happening. And of those 33, six were from crew members and the rest from passengers.
Oh,
so there have been a number of stories of, you know, sexual assault and rapes occurring on cruise ships and the cruise lines trying to, like, cover it up. Like, cruise ships are safe. They're not crimes. These are, you know, like, they don't want people to be scared to go on vacation on their cruise line. So hiding, covering up these crimes.
Yeah, I mean, what do you expect with an all-inclusive alcohol package? Bad things are going to happen.
Exactly. And even then, like, 48 crimes in the first quarter, that's clearly underreported.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But again, because ships are registered in foreign countries and crimes happen on the open seas, jurisdiction and legal recourse are difficult things to make happen. In 2010, Congress passed the Cruise Vessel Safety and Security Act, which required ships to meet safety specifications, such as railings and railing heights, video surveillance, and so on, have safety and security plans in place to respond to overboard passengers and other crimes, and to publicly report on disappearances and crimes on ships that embark or disembark passengers in the U.S.
Yeah, those DOT stats that I just provided, that's kind of from this, from this provision.
Yeah.
So we're almost out of time. So to close, here are some tips for cruising justly.
Yes.
First of all, consider alternatives to cruises for vacations. Yes. Like we said earlier, you can avoid cramped rooms, long lines, packed crowds, and all of those things that do not appeal to me about, about cruise ships. Yeah.
Stuck with people and you can't get away from them.
Mm-hmm.
Nightmare.
Exactly. Exactly. Number two, spread the news about Cruise Justice.
Yes.
Tell all your friends to listen to this episode particularly.
Yes.
Or you can pick cruises that are more environmentally conscious.
Yes.
You know, there are some movements towards, you know, corporate green energy and all that stuff.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right.
Number three, tip generously, especially your servers and housekeepers, because that money goes directly in their pockets and to their families and not to the greedy, polluting, exploiting corporations. Mm. When you get off the boat, patronize local establishments and try to book excursions directly with local vendors rather than through the corporations. Keep money going to the people who need it more than corporations as much as possible.
Yes.
Of course, this... You know, sad this has to be said, but be kind, respectful, yeah, and courteous to your staff.
Right.
And then, of course, have fun.
Yes.
And I guess that's all I have to say.
Okay.
So that means it's our minute to spin it, where we both give our takeaway from the show today. So, Tommy, what's your spin in just a minute?
So there's a stereotype about American tourists, and mm-hmm, I have personally witnessed this on display in mm-hmm Europe many times. Mm-hmm. My spin is, it is difficult in today's world to vacation ethically, especially when tourism disrupts the local economy and drives housing prices up for the people who live and work there and serve you, the ones mm-hmm who make your trip awesome. Mm-hmm. But what you can do is try not to be that stereotypical tourist as much as possible. So mm-hmm don't be a you-know-what. Because this
I
is a clean podcast, we will
what,
not say.
What letter does that begin with?
It begins with an A.
Oh, okay, I know exactly what you're talking
yeah
about.
Yeah, and I guess to
a
add...
A double A, don't be an American A.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I guess one more thing I did want to mention is, be like Germans, because I was on this really small working Norwegian boat, so it was not a cruise, mm-hmm, and there were a bunch of German tourists on there, and they just took naps on deck mm the whole time. Like, mm-hmm, they were just constantly asleep up on top, so they never bothered anyone.
Full of beer and sausages.
Yeah. Be more like those folks.
Yeah.
Ben, what's your spin?
Aruba, Jamaica. Ooh, I want to take you to Bermuda, Bahama. Come on, Justice Mama. Let's get there fast and then we'll vacation fair. Way down in Kokomo. I think that's what I'm going to start calling you, Justice Mama.
Justice Mama.
Or maybe that might be a good name for Peggy. She's our boss. She's our Justice Mama.
She is the mm-hmm Justice Mama.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Well, happy summer, everyone, and have a fun, safe, and just vacation.
Happy summer. We are a community-driven podcast sponsored by the Gandhi Center and produced by JMU Libraries. Check out our website linked in show notes to see how you can support our educational programming.